G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the approach to HHS, hyperosmolar hyperglycemic state. The main resource for today's talk is Dunn's Emergency Medicine Manual. So what is it? It's a syndrome of systemic dehydration secondary to osmotic diuresis from insulin resistance, not deficiency, and it usually has an acute precipitant. It's characterized by insulin being sufficient to prevent lipolysis or ketosis, but insufficient to prevent gluconeogenesis by the liver and peripheral uptake and utilization, resulting in osmotic diuresis. We can expect severe hyperglycemia greater than 30 millimoles per litre, absent or minimal ketonemia less than 3 millimoles per litre, hyperosmolarity greater than 320 milliosmoles per litre, and mild or absent acidemia. So pH is usually greater than 7.3, but a decreased pH is often due to an underlying process. We can also expect an elevated UC ratio, suggesting a pre-renal AKI, and importantly, the mortality for this condition is quoted to be 15 to 45%. For assessment on history, the patient's usually a type 2 diabetic and elderly, and we need to search for a precipitant. Is there any evidence of infection or gastroenteritis, a hypothermia exposure, alcohol intake, insulin non-compliance, diuretic or steroid use, and any evidence of acute coronary syndrome, so chest pain or shortness of breath? On examination, we're looking for deranged vital signs, altered mental status, and dehydration hypovolemia, evidenced by dry mucous membranes, decreased skin turgor, skin mottling and pallor, and in the infective precipitant, so crackles for pneumonia, suprapubic pain for UTI or flank pain, and then surgical cause as peritonitis or evidence of cellulitis for skin examination. For investigations, bedside tests, we're doing a VBG for the diagnosis plus corrected sodium, ketones, serum ketones, urine dip for UTI, ECG for acute coronary syndrome and hyperkalemic changes. For PATH, we're doing a full blood count for polycythemia, raised white cell count and platelets for DIC, EUC looking for hypernatremia, AKI and hyperkalemia, LFT, CRP, COAG for DIC, blood cultures in febrile and serum osmolarity. For imaging, consider CT brain for altered mental status differentials, chest x-ray for pneumonia, CT abdomen pelvis, or renal tract ultrasound for the infective causes. ICU or HDU admission is indicated for osmolality greater than 350, sodium greater than 160, venous or arterial pH less than 7.1, suggesting an underlying process such as a HAGMA, potassium less than 3.5 or greater than 6 on admission, GCS less than 12, creatinine greater than 200 micromoles per litre, hypothermia, ongoing hypotension despite resuscitation, and concomitant heart failure, making fluid replacement difficult. For management, firstly, resuscitation with fluids. Careful rehydration is the mainstay of therapy, expecting a deficit of greater than 10 litres, but replacing that deficit over 48 to 72 hours. We'll start with a litre of saline, normal saline 0.9% in the first hour, says often chloride loss, and then 250 to 500 mils per hour thereafter, titrating to a urine output of 0.5 to 1 mils per kilo per hour. Bicarbonate water, so 150 millimoles of bicarb in 850 mils of sterile water, is a reasonable substitute if there's evidence of AKI or hyperchloremia from the outset. We can use 0.45% sodium chloride if the sodium is increasing or corrects by more than 10 millimoles per litre in the first 24 hours, and we're expecting the BGL to decrease with rehydration by itself. Ideally, we want 3 to 5 millimoles per hour, and we want a reduction in osmolality by 3 to 8 millimoles per litre in the first 1 hour, and then, like glucose, 3 to 5 millimoles per litre per hour thereafter. For resuscitation, we also need to treat the cause. So, for example, sepsis, we want to treat with empiric broad-spectrum antibiotics. For specific management, insulin is indicated, provided the patient is not hypokalemic with a potassium less than 3.5. We are expecting the patient to be sensitive to insulin, so we need to start at a lower dose, 0.05 units per kilo per hour. Wary of rapid changes in BGL and the risk of cerebral edema, aiming for a reduction in glucose of 3 to 5 millimoles per hour maximum. We want to keep the BGL at around 15, so we'll then add in 5% glucose to our deficit infusion. For electrolytes, we're expecting total body potassium depletion and replace potassium as per DKA, unless the patient's anuric. with 10 millimoles per hour of potassium if the potassium is 4 to 5.5 and 20 millimoles per hour if it's less than 4. For supportive management, VTE prophylaxis is vitally important with enoxaparin or heparin if there's an AKI, and we need to monitor for complications. Again, VTE and cerebral edema, evidenced by altered mental status and agitation, and also fluid overload. Supportive management is also analgesia and antiemetics as appropriate. For disposition, the patient needs to be admitted and reviewing the criteria for ICU admission. Poor prognostic features are hypernatremia and renal failure. Okay, that was the approach to a patient with HHS. Thanks for listening.